Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
This morning, this word, God's intention for this word, His desire for this word, is to help you have a better strategy against the enemy. There are two ways that we deal with the enemy. One is reactive, where we know he's gotten in there. And the only way you can react to the enemy is to give yourself increasingly to Jesus. Otherwise, we react in our own strength and things don't get better. We just get aggravated. Today's not about getting aggravated. It's about things getting better. Amen. He just said that. See, that was just the Holy Spirit releasing out into the congregation what He wanted to do. And you heard this morning about the gift of prophecy. If you were in Sunday school, they were talking about that. And I got about, 5 or 10 minutes of it. And what happens, I started to pray and He began to prophesy. Why? He wanted to tell you things to come concerning you. That He's designed things to get better and better. Whenever things are not getting better and better, and we stop anticipating better and better, we've got to locate where we're at. It's kind of like on a road map. If you're not experiencing getting to the destination, I remember when I'll have to tell this in a way to protect the identity of people. All right, because it's sort of funny, but it's sort of not funny. It's sort of pitiful too. We were moving from Illinois to North Carolina, and we had a caravan. And we were neither one leading in the caravan. Somebody else was helping us. We had vehicles to move, and I don't know, a truck and a trailer, and I don't know what all, a lot of stuff. And friends helping us move the distance. I don't know, 650 miles, I think, door to door. And we were traveling, got over to Indianapolis. And of course, in those days, I think they had just completed the expressway all the way around Indianapolis. And of course, you have to switch interstates in Indianapolis if you're going to go south and east. You got to at some point turn and start going south and not just east. But anyway, we're kind of tired. We'd been packing and aggravated and left at the pre-dawn early morning, thinking we got probably a 14-hour ride with the U-Hauls and everything. And we got to Indianapolis and planning on it taking 20 minutes to go around about a third of the beltway to catch our highway over toward Knoxville, Tennessee, and Asheville, North Carolina. And I don't know, that 20 minutes turned into 45, and all of a sudden I look up and I think, where are we going? We were here a little while ago because the road was going in a circle. And there was a revelation on my part, but it was after we had already passed the turnoff. And we had to loop around Indianapolis, not two times, but three times before. Now, you take a 45-minute loop three times, and you are suddenly an hour and a half behind schedule. Now, that just seems like you can rectify it pretty easy and catch it and think, well, it'll just take longer to get there. But there was a weather system moving into the North Carolina mountains. We were flatlanders, and we were kind of afraid of the eastern slope of the mountains. We had to come down off the high elevation down into the hill country where we were moving to. And there was a blizzard coming into North Carolina. We left so early that morning to try to beat the blizzard and beat the dark to come down the mountain roads in North Carolina that we didn't know, didn't have guardrails, and they didn't have salt trucks, and they weren't going to clear the road. And we were committed to get there. The U-Haul had to be returned in 2 days and had to be emptied. And you know the routine. You get under pressure in this life because we want everything to work out ideally, but then there are obstacles that come, many times because of our own ignorance or inactivity, or just not paying attention. Well, we got to North Carolina, up to Asheville, and they were closing the interstates. That's not a good thing, because in North Carolina, if there's snow, your only hope is the interstate if you're up in the mountains. Well, they were closing the interstate, and I was praying, and I was driving the bigger U-Haul, and I was praying, saying, Jesus, I don't know what it will look like or feel like to go off a mountain in a U-Haul. And I don't want to discover any more about it than what I'm thinking in my mind right now. And I'm thinking back to Indianapolis and the foolishness of circling the city three times, and we could have been clear to our destination before the interstate got closed and had 20 minutes on a two-lane highway instead of an hour and a half. So we had to exit at a place called Hendersonville, which is a pretty nice little city. But the only road to get to where we needed to go was windy and curvy, and we went through a place called Bat Cave and Frog Level and Lake Lure, named for fishing, and mountain places. And I remember looking at, we didn't get off the interstate for so long, and I didn't know the lay of the land when we got to North Carolina, and I thought surely one of those little towns would have a gas station open at 8 o'clock at night, but no. Not in North Carolina mountains. When it snows and it's dark, everybody goes home and builds a fire, and you are on your own. So we were driving through the mountains, and I remember the first place I saw was a log house out by the road, kind of primitive house, and a shirtless man out there with a big can of beer in his hand in a rocking chair just doing this. And I thought, dear Jesus, don't let me go off the mountain. Because that might be the local EMT, I don't know. He's the only living person that I saw for a long time. And it's fun when we can laugh about it, but at the moment, I was feeling pins and needles in my fingertips, thinking, if I run out of gas, I don't know who I'm going to encounter and how long I'm going to have to walk before I find a human person willing to help that has a telephone line go into their house. Or that same option of there's no guardrails and there's no cars on the road. And if I go off and live through it, who will find me? And if I go off, everybody behind me will hit their brakes, and they will most certainly go off because I knew how to brake. I knew how to drive a truck in snow. Thank God for blizzards in Illinois, because it comes in handy to have that knowledge when you're where other people don't have it. But I share this story because sometimes we end up in trouble, mostly because we did something foolish in ignorance without even intending it. I believe that you're in church. I believe that you've chosen to be at this church because you are rather intentional about your relationship with God. So today, as I share this word and we open up this kind of thinking, this is not coming as a way to reprimand anybody. This is coming as a way to empower everybody to recognize what it is to begin to live in the dark in something that Jesus intends to bring us into the light. He intends to give us a knowledge or give us revelation in who He is. He intends to show us something or tell us something that will put us on course with a better way and an easier way. Understand, you're in a world that darkness is the prevailing force in the world unless you have Jesus, the light of life. And you have to be intentional of letting that light shine throughout all of your being. You're a spirit, soul, and body. And we have to allow His light or the truth of His word to come into our life everywhere. Like happened to me when I read the sign and said, wait a minute, this is the second time I've gone by the sign that said 75, and I caught it out of the corner of my eye and thought, surely that was not our turn to Knoxville, Tennessee. And I got about, the truck started to turn back north, and I said, that was our turn to Tennessee. You have moments like that where you recognize, wait a minute. And I remember thinking, how could anybody be so dumb? But how could I be so dumber to follow and not catch it when I'm responsible to get me there? Sometimes we just follow the person in front of us instead of navigating by the Jesus on the inside. And we navigate in our situation and think, well, He knows where I am and He understands. It's true. But His desire is for us to see the sign in time, to make the exit and get to our destination, because He knows what's waiting, what challenges are waiting on the other end. If you've ever been exhausted driving a big truck in the last leg of your travel in a snowstorm with several thousand pounds pushing you, you know what I'm talking about. There's no feeling like that when you say, "Dear Jesus, get me there in one piece, and I will just be such a good guy for so I will just bow down and kiss your feet, Jesus." You had moments like that. That's why we laugh. This morning as we begin, I want you to understand Isaiah 54:17, my only reference today to the Old Testament as I look at the notes. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. That means you got some weapons. If there's weapons coming against you, there's an enemy coming against you. But those weapons not having an effect on you depend on you. I see people quote scripture sometimes and I think, now wait a minute. To get that to work for us, we have a responsibility. All the weapons of the devil are weapons of darkness. They cannot work when you're walking in the light. I've learned that whatever is coming against me in my life, Jesus has a way to shine light into that to get rid of the effect of that darkness in my life. And I will say, as your pastor, you will continually battle with bits of darkness trying to press in. Don't think you're less a Christian. Don't think that there's some radical thing wrong with you that you have to do battle. There are weapons aimed at you, working against you. And this world is a dark place. Unless you are being intentional to be in the light, darkness will begin to creep in. I see the wisdom in what the scripture says, don't forsake the assembly. Why? At least when we assemble together, there should be a word that brings light. That's like the minimum you need to exist, to not have to spend your whole week in a bomb shelter against the devil. I hear a lot of Christian prayers are like bomb shelter prayers. Jesus, just get me through this attack, and I'll come out and I'll live for you better. Well, he wants us to choose the life so the bombs can't fall on us. They might be have our name on them. They might be pointed in our direction. The plane might be flying over, but it can't open the hatch to let out the bomb because light is preventing it. There are many times in our lives the enemy means to come with destruction, and destruction is stopped because there is enough light working in our life. Well, today we want to increase that. I want you to understand how the enemy works. If no weapon that's formed against you is going to prosper, you have to know how the enemy tries to use weapons. Today, I think when we look at the degrees or the effect that darkness has on a believer, don't be thinking in terms of the world. These weapons are not out to take out the non-believer. The weapons are aimed at the believer. Why? Light is the threat to darkness. Light is what causes darkness to have to leave a room or leave a situation. So we want to see how that works. I want you to understand how it works. There's a kind of living that is more proactive than reactive. We know there's a bomb shelter if we have to get in it, but we're not supposed to need it. We're supposed to be able to stop the hand of the enemy because we are walking closely with Jesus. I want you to understand there's such benefit in walking close to Him that we finally learn what it is, what grace really is, what His goodness really is. When we're constantly taking a hit from the weapons coming against us, it's evidence of something. It's prospering. The enemy got through because he operates in darkness. The devil can't get through to you unless there's darkness. Now think about darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. It's the absence of information. It's the absence of revelation. Scripture says that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. That's the only way you can be destroyed once you give yourself to Jesus. Some of that knowledge, we get some head knowledge. Head knowledge can be a help. But there's knowledge higher than our head knowledge, and that's God knowledge. That's when He shows us His truth and His authority. So we want to go for the most that we can instead of operating at the least level. We want to be able to catch every road sign. Part of the reason I think maybe I missed the exit is I was sleepy at the beginning of the journey. It was a little dark and overcast. I don't know. I think we got over there around 5 o'clock in the morning. We left over here around 3. It's still pretty dark. Things happen in the dark that won't happen as much in the light. And we want to think, well, the devil got in here. No, we just didn't bring enough light. He can't get in unless we have darkness in us. So today's intended to help. Why? You're going to always deal with darkness coming at you. It doesn't mean you're less a Christian. Hopefully it will give you an understanding to say, wait a minute, the only way to get rid of this is increase light. We're going to look at 4 primary areas today. I'm going to use 4 examples. One is our church life. One is our family life. One is our financial life. The other is our physical life or our health. All 4 of those things reveal how much light is happening in us. The first indicator really is your church connect and commitment, because it's a picture of your overall spiritual condition. I know that sometimes people argue and say, well, I'm doing fine on my own. No, when you study the Word, God's kingdom is an orderly kingdom. And church is the place we express our spiritual condition. It's really where God kind of comes in and He's the physician in the house. But He's not just a physician for our physical body. He knows our condition in every way. So when we come together, we're saying, God, I'm bringing myself as I am into Your presence. And You've got everything I need to fix me back up. And we recognize that. It's a moment of truth. It's a moment of letting God speak to our hearts or not. If we get too far away, too much in darkness in the week, this can just be a religious exercise. And I've got to show up or pastor will think I'm backslid. You're already backslid if that's your attitude. All right. And it isn't pastor, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's the one all-knowing. Pastor doesn't know everything. I just do not know everything. But He has to know everything. Why, it's His business to know everything about us so He can help us. Now, this is Ephesians 6:11 tells us that we have to take a stand. We stand against the wiles of the devil. You don't take a stand so much against him as his tricks. His tricks are in the darkness. His deception is in the darkness. When we can't see what's happening, we become more vulnerable. The more light comes in a room, the better off it is. This morning, I thought about doing this, and then I thought better to shave in the dark and let you see what it would look like. And I stood in that bathroom, and I thought, no, we are not chancing that. You know, think about getting your clothes out in the dark and wanting them to match, unless you're really familiar with how it feels. You might make a mistake. Think about how if you're cooking your favorite meal and you know the recipe, you're going to make a cake and you know the recipe and it's not a box mix, it's grandma so-and-so's recipe from scratch. And it calls for cinnamon and you pick up the red pepper. Well, the containers were the same. And then we end up making excuses. We serve it or we take a bite and say, what happened? And we serve it because it's funky and weird, and we're kind of, you know, we'll serve it, and people are like, something wrong with this. What is it? Some light was missing. The light missing caused the wrong ingredient to get in there. Understand how wrong things happen. Light's missing. See, sometimes we take it personally, and we think, there's something wrong with me. No, there's something wrong with our spiritual environment. We've got to bring light in. And if the light's working in us, we're going to make less ignorant mistakes. And usually the really good cook will say things like, I don't know what happened, but this doesn't taste right. Something's wrong with it. I had a grandmother that was a masterful cook. Both of them were. But the one grandma made no excuses, and the other one made a lot of excuses. I don't know what happened. It didn't turn out as good as it was last time. And really what she was saying is, tell me it's the best you ever had. But if there was really something missed out, I mean, imagine cinnamon rolls if there's no cinnamon. You know, imagine a brownie with no chocolate. They make them. I don't like that. I like the real deal. I mean, if we're going to have it, why not have the fullness of what Jesus has for us. Now, this is Ephesians 6:12. The enemy works in darkness. I'm going to hit some of these things quickly because I want to spend a little time lingering in the middle of this message. We wrestle against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. There are forces working in the darkness of this world. You can't utterly escape being in this world till you're in heaven. So there are forces working against you. Put the blame where it belongs. It belongs on the forces working in darkness, but recognize you can control how much darkness is around you. You can change some things. Now, we have to discern that there's danger in the darkness. Today, there's so much thought in people. There's such an ignorance to God's word that people have begun to think that it's okay to live this way or that way if it doesn't seem to be hurting anybody. Recognize anything that we do that God has shed light on about our life that we choose to not do, we are choosing darkness. We give it permission to occupy a place in our life. It's kind of like we moved into our house was over 100 years old when we moved in. It needed some updating. It didn't have hardly any lights in it or power outlets or central cooling, no air conditioning. It didn't just a whole lot of stuff it didn't have. I remember the first few times going to the closets. I lived there a few months before the family moved up here from Tennessee. I go in the bedroom closet, and there's no lights in those closets. I don't know that they had power in the house when they built it. I think it came in probably shortly after. But I'd have to go in there, and if I didn't shine light in the closet, I had to take everything out of the closet to find what I wanted to wear that came from the closet. I had to take responsibility for the light. Now, I could all of my life go in there with flashlight or do what I did and say, this ain't happening anymore. We're going to find out what does it take to put lights everywhere. Why? I didn't want to abide in darkness. Why? It's not a convenient life. It's not a fulfilling life. It's filled with frustration. So Jesus lets us know if we want to be a fulfilled Christian, we'll increase light. And what will happen is the secret things of darkness will stay secret. See, there's things that the devil has designed for you, weaponry against you, that God wants you to never understand or know about. That's how completely Jesus took care of our futures. He doesn't want the darkness to ever have opportunity to operate against us. He doesn't want us to ever even see or hear what's going on in those dark places. Now, this world, on the other hand, operates in darkness and tries to navigate outrunning all the wicked works of the enemy. We aren't going to exist as power-filled Christians, as victorious Christians running from an enemy. We need to have the light keep him out, not have to contend with him in the natural. Now, turning to Jesus always breaks the powers of darkness, and today I hope that you will feel compelled to choose Jesus in some things. It's up to you, but I'm going to tell you as pastor, I know routinely, if the enemy starts to creep in on my territory, I have to get the light on the matter. And it is an every week and mostly every day thing. You say, really, pastor? Yeah, a lot more that happens to you that is not pleasant can be dealt with than you think. We don't have to put up with what happens in the darkness. We increase the light. He said in John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In other words, he came for everybody. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. I have a choice when darkness comes to continue in it or run it off. Now, but shall have the light of life. Now, I want to talk this morning about how strongholds are broken. You hear us sing about that at church. We sing about things like that a lot. But I want you to understand how they're broken and to recognize you're in charge of that. There's some things that the Lord will do today. I hail back to 1981 in my thinking this morning. In that year, in 1982, before the church started here in 1983, I was traveling, ministering some. And this came to mind actually Friday night when I was talking to somebody. Of my traveling over to Crown Point, Indiana, and that was near where Dr. Lester Sumrall lived. In those days, Full Gospel Businessmen's was one of the main contacts. They would call me and say, would you go here or here or here to minister? And I would just always say yes, and then I'd look at the map and figure out where's that, because I didn't know where Crown Point was, but started going to Crown Point at intervals several times a year, I think about every 6 or 8 weeks. In one of those meetings, Dr. Summerall was there, and I had known of him. I had heard him speak at Rhema when I was in Bible school. I recognized that he was probably the foremost authority of men on the earth that understood how the devil worked. That man scared me. he'd come into a room, and if there was somebody dealing with the devil had to get out of the room. Understand, that same anointing is in our service today. Why? It's Jesus' anointing. It's Jesus' anointing of what he intends to do. Jesus intends to be the light that runs the darkness out of your life without you running off at the same time. Many times when people start to pull away from fellowship, it's because darkness is prevailing and they don't understand it's driving them out. So what do? You drive the darkness out and save the person. That's what Jesus came to do. Drive the darkness out of us and save us. Why? He loved us, but he hates the darkness. He loves us, but he hates sin. He loves us, but he hates ignorance. He wants us to walk. He just said so in John 8:12, to walk in that light, to walk in the fullness of it. Now, there are 7 indications of progressive darkness, and I've asked this morning something I don't usually do, is put bullet points on the screen, because I'd rather look into your eyes and you be looking at me than looking at the screen, but we're going to do both today. So if I walk towards you, just glance in my eyes and give me that satisfaction that I've still got you, okay? Because this is meant as a visual aid. Why? I'm teaching a whole series in one Sunday morning, and we're going to be done in 16 minutes. See, Pastor, that's not possible. I know, but he said all things are possible in Christ Jesus, and it'll be up to your faith to produce it, not mine. The timeliness. All right. Now, there's 7 indications of progressive darkness. I want you to understand this, because this happens in your life. It doesn't make you not a Christian. It identifies that you are a Christian. You can't have darkness become progressive against you unless you have been in light before. Otherwise, darkness is all you know. Darkness doesn't have to make any progress. You're a creature of darkness. That's what the scripture says. But when we come into the light, we have to recognize that darkness is the pressure pressing in. Darkness is the attack that people think is coming against them, when it's really an atmosphere we control. Now, the first thing that happens, a person is born again and they're walking with God, is regression. It just means that we go backward. Darkness causes us to go backward. Darkness is, think of it this way, when you're walking in the light, there are opportunities before you. Some are full of light and some are full of darkness. I can decide, I'll use this as an example, as a young man, I could decide it's time for me to have a wife. I can do it God's way and look through a doorway of light, or I can say I'd rather have the woman and no commitment and have the sex and no marriage. And I can choose which opportunity to, why, darkness is always there. And if I give thought to it in my mind, the devil will see to it that a door opens before me. I remember being a young man. I remember that when my mind seemed to be given to, I'm lonely, well, there'd be opportunity. I'd always marvel and think, this can't be God, because that can't be a God creature right there, acting that way and doing that right in front of my face. Couldn't be, no, what was that? When the door to darkness opens up, that lives in the dark is going to come out. Now, there wasn't nothing wrong with the girl. She's a creature of darkness. She hadn't learned the ways of light. So I'm not being critical, I'm just telling you, everywhere we go, we can go backward if we want to. Why? The world's full of doors to the darkness. And we have to choose to be walking in the light, or when that door opens to darkness, darkness tends to have a power to pull you in. Think of a black hole. I marvel at things in science. The black hole that is the vortex of emptiness that can pull you in. That's what those open doors do. And this is where doors open. Not later. They open at this level every day before you. How you think about life will cause you to look at that door and discern appropriately. You can think about life and say, but I'm young and I'm single and I have needs. I hear Christian young men talking about things like this. Say, really? In front of you? Yeah, they don't always know I'm a pastor. I don't tell them. I don't tell them until they ask my opinion. Then I tell them what the Bible says, and they're like, oh, dear God. Why? It'll help them. It'll help them. Why? They don't know about the light. It'll help them. Instead of letting our witness be squelched, see, if we don't put the light out there, who's going to know to walk in it? Who's going to see the difference and the value in it? But I listen and to what goes on with people, and I think most Christians don't understand this, so I'm bringing it today in a way you can understand. Regression, going backward. It's where the doors are open. They're not open later, but when we approach one of the dark doors, the next thing is repression. And it causes us to prevent normal expression and activity. Understand normal is what the scriptures say normal is. That same young man should keep himself for his wife and wait until they're one. But that's been so messed with, even in the body of Christ, to where people don't know that that's normal anymore. Why? That's God's normal. But man's normal is not that. Man's normal is, of course, you go through that door as soon as your body's ready. And not only do you go through that door, you find expression to see what's normal for you. Instead of looking to God for what's a normal expression, man looks for what's his normal expression, and he might be born a he, but decide he's not a he. You see where I'm going with this? See how things get in our thinking that we think, but it's my reality. No, God's reality is the light. Everything else is dark. So what's going to happen is we begin to progress down this path of darkness. We can't be in the dark without choosing to go through one of those doors. When Jesus comes to live in us, he's in there, the light is in there. But when we hold him back and we decide we choose darkness and go through that door, we begin a downhill climb to the foot of hell, to the gates of hell. That's really what's happening. Scripture teaches that in the Old Testament. It talks about our steps leading to hell, particularly about sexuality. If you didn't know, it's all through Proverbs and Psalms warning us. Why? Because the enemy knows how to get us captivated by the activities of darkness because we have a physical body. Our physical body doesn't want to surrender to the ways of God. It's in rebellion to the ways of God. It's a physical body. Adam and Eve kind of allowed all of that to happen. So what do we have to do? We have to contend with the physical body and say, I'm a creature of light. And at any time we choose, we can choose the darkness. So you see today when people say things like, don't judge me, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, here's what God says in the scripture. And we judge for ourselves. That's the beauty of the scriptures. Only you and Jesus see inside of you. And when you let him in there, he'll be a realist. He'll tell you, this is how it really is. Now, the third thing that happens is a suppression comes and a person begins to be taken down. Literally, we shift our thinking and begin to make excuses for our compromise. But God knows my situation. I had somebody say to me just last week, well, God made me with these overwhelming sexual needs. And I just looked at him and said, you don't agree. I said, no, I don't agree. I said, the devil perverted your sexual needs. Got quiet in the room. Explain that to me. Why, we have a relationship where I can explain that. I respected that others were not overhearing because it's rather private. Light causes darkness to go. And it happens quickly. Why? Information, right information from God's word will cause the stronghold to be broken. Then we have to choose to get back out of that door and get back in the light. See, God does his part supernaturally and immediately. Then we've got to do our part and absent ourselves from the dark situation. That's what repentance looks like. It means to turn and walk away from, or in some cases, turn and run. Get out of there. The fourth thing that happens is depression. That means to keep you down and make you low in spirit. I found in dealing with people, when somebody gives in to darkness, it's almost impossible to get them back in fellowship. They get down and they say, well, Pastor, I've just not been myself lately. Well, there's always a reason. You know, first, if they're a Christian, their self is found in Christ Jesus, where our identity's in him. So when we make a dark kind of choice, we're not going to feel ourselves. Why? We've let the enemy begin to work. And he's wily. I want you to understand. The devil works in the darkness. And when you can think of hell as the ultimate dark place, because it is. But when we begin taking steps down toward that, we are stepping away from the light. Jesus' light is not going to go in and prevail as you march down into hell. His light's going to be bottled up on the inside of you, and he's going to be creating a conflict, saying, "Oh, wait a minute. You don't want to do this. You don't want to do this." "Well, yes, I do want to do this." "No, I don't want to do this." "You do want to do this." Why, there's this battle that begins. We have to choose, are we going to honor the light and correct our course? And that's what repentance is. I want you to understand how practical repentance is. It is the thing we do to meet God's supernatural working. It's our natural response to God's power so we can be free from the works of the enemy. He's wily. When you come into the dark, understand, when you come into a dark place, the deeper you go, the more he can do to you. See, people today want to teach it as, well, this is psychiatry and psychology, and it's how the mind works. It's how the mind works related to light and darkness. So depression comes to keep a person down. What does it do? They almost need somebody to rescue them out of that depressive state. When they're laying out of church, it's like, you need to be in church. Come on. It might look like showing up at their house at 8:30 to make sure they get a shower and get out of bed. Say, really, Pastor? Yeah, that's what's at stake. Why? When we get down in darkness, we're down, it's hard to get out. If you've ever dealt with any kind of depression, you recognize that and think, yeah, I felt like I needed help. I needed a lift. I needed, something had to give. If you've ever said to yourself, something's just got to give, you're either in or on the verge of this place. Why? The devil will do what he can. He's sneaky. It doesn't mean you're stupid. It means he's sneaky. It may not even mean you're ignorant. It might mean that you had a brain freeze for a moment and he got by you. It might be that all the circumstances lined up that you didn't see the exit sign and you went on around. But you recognize, I'm coming back to my chance to change course again. Today's one of those chances. Why? It's what he most wants to do for you today. Now, the next is an oppression, being crushed, having the life crushed out of you, feeling hopelessness and despair, and those kinds of feelings come and thoughts come today in with so many people committing suicide. This is why darkness begins to feel like it's winning. What used to be doesn't even seem to be the case anymore, and many times when a Christian gets to this point, they wonder if they're even saved or not. Why? The life is being crushed down. Think of the light as being compressed to where they want to believe it's in there, but there's no evidence of it being in there. Now, then the sixth is obsession, to become dominated by evil actions. Just seem like everything bad happens to you, and everything bad happens through you, and everything bad. What happens? Darkness somehow got in there. Now, we're going to talk about how it gets in a little bit. Then the last, which should never happen to you as a Christian, is to possession. That darkness took over. Now, here's what we know about the Lord Jesus. He comes in to stay. So my belief is, I don't think you can be possessed of the devil and belong to Jesus at the same time. Scripture says we'll have one master. So, but when we begin to feel like we're being controlled as a Christian, being controlled by some darkness, think of addiction as an example here. Addiction first occurs because a door of opportunity opened and a person's thought life somehow was given to it. It might be through somebody else's thought life. Trust me, dude, this is fun. We smoke a little, or they said it this way, we toke a little, and we party a lot. I remember hearing that. And I remember thinking, the door of light says, no, stay away, but a lot of people I knew, token goes. So what did I have to choose? I had to choose either the door that why. When they went through the door, they were saying, That's how darkness. Darkness always has a great invitation to it, pointing out the benefits or the good. And today, in legalizing what was illegal in my day, now the door's open, and even the government said, well, if you need to be free of pain, why? Men begin to consult darkness instead of receiving what's in the light. Jesus said he was the healer, not a pot plant. Yet today, see how that's even got into, there are preachers today talking about issues like that, saying, see, God created the weed because he knew you had the need. That's probably somebody's sermon title today. It's not ours. Now, the enemy has legal right to operate in darkness. I want you to understand this. I want you to see how this works. The open door always feels kind of innocent. Why? When the door's open and there's monsters in the dark, they're in the back of the dark room. In the front part of the dark room is the party tray, or the moment's satisfaction, or the fitting into society, or the bragging rights to talk about your last escapade or whatever. That's always the little tray inside the door. But you get in that door and the hinges begin to seem to be closing. Why? Darkness wants to keep you. The devil is a possessor. That's what he's ultimately after, is to try to possess. And if he can't possess you as a believer, he'll try to do everything else to you he can get away with. Now, the enemy has legal right. This is Ephesians 6:12 yet again, and I'm running out of time, and that's okay. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not going to fight this battle on your own. You need Jesus' help. Right. See, we're in the dark world, but against principalities, powers, and against the rulers of darkness. When you go into darkness, they rule over you, those rulers. You lose power. You lose ability. You say, well, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how this got such a hold on me. There are rulers of darkness out to take possession of you. They will possess every part of your life they can. What they can't get is your spirit, because Jesus lives there. But they'll take your mind and they'll take your body and make you a slave, or what's happening on the inside, you'll feel powerless. Now, the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places, Jesus delivers us from that power of darkness. This is Colossians 1:13 and 14. He has already delivered us. He has already done his part. He has already delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's a place of light. He's put your reservation there, and you can immediately be back there by turning to him. Amen. I'm a believer in full and complete deliverance and being set free, a full and complete healing. I'm a believer in all of those things because the Bible says Jesus died so we could have that and have that kind of life. Today, you have to decide to be a believer in that or not. I would encourage you, be an easy believer. Say, when it comes to Jesus, I'm going to believe all of it. I'm going to believe everything. Why? He's only good. And when we choose to believe, the power of God's released in our direction, where we can grab hold of that and say, I'm having that for me. I am having that freedom and liberty for me. Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Understand why there's a special anointing here today. Jesus' blood's been prayed over this service. Amen. Why? He poured out his blood so that we could have the benefit. He poured out his blood to make us holy. He poured out his blood to loose the powers of darkness from off of us. That's what the anointing does. It's saying, I'm having a divine transfusion of God life into me. And that's how we pray today. Why? We need that. It's almost become a thing that people think, if I need that, there's something wrong with me. You know, if you need that, it's an honest moment. We need Jesus. That's why he came for us. He knew we were in darkness, but we were supposed to walk in light with him. Now, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Here's something that has to happen. If you recognize from regression anywhere down, to not choose Jesus now would be sin. Might have been ignorance up till now. Might have been, well, I sure didn't mean to go through a wrong door. I've had moments like that. Sure didn't mean to loop around Indianapolis again. But not once, not twice, three times. Didn't mean to do that. Was trying to watch out for it. Still did it. What do we do? Ignorant. I call it ignorant moment. And I want to thank Jesus, you're particularly loving me in my ignorance, so help me. He will. Now, we must receive his delivering power. This is how it works. This is what's going to happen today in the altar for you, if you want to receive from him. There's no judgment in this house. I want to forewarn you. The only judgment will be you judging your own self before the Lord. And that's a private matter. And I encourage you, keep it private. The anointing of God when you come to the altar has nothing to do with you saying something to pastor. This is not a moment of confession. This is not a moment of, I've got to be real. You be real with Jesus. And here's how he says we do it. We resist the devil and he'll flee. That's your first thing you've got to do. I am not putting up with what he's trying to do to me because of darkness. Now, you might just be in ignorance and you don't know why something's happening to you. Most people that walk in depression, most Christians that deal with depression to get to that level, are walking in an area of darkness because they just don't have enough light yet. That's not a shameful thing unless we stay there. The shameful thing is to say, well, I'm just going to be like this all my life. I'm going to take chemical compounds to try to compensate. You can take chemicals to suppress the devil, but you're not going to kill him with them. As soon as the chemical runs out, he's going to flare up. Ever known anybody like that? They use terms like manic or OCD or all of these things that the Christian community is accepting as, well, this is just part of life because of a crummy society. Jesus is still Jesus over crummy society. Jesus is still the Jesus that wants us to be free of everything. And it might take some real believing to accept the freedom. It might take some real turning around in your thought life and say things like, I know I've been on these meds for 10 years, but Jesus is going to set me free and my doctor's going to recognize I don't need it anymore. There's nothing wrong with the meds for 10 years, but Jesus is better. Otherwise, the Bible would have a pharmaceutical side to it. I don't know if you've seen the channels. There's channels on TV. That's all they are now. There's a channel called Dope Something, four words, four letters, word. Dope. A dope channel on TV. And then you go down, scroll down 8 or 10 more. There's a meds channel. Scroll down a few more. There's holistic exercise channel. There's everybody trying to accomplish God's blessing in the natural way when God's got one better. Now, the second thing we do is Isaiah 10:27 says the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Your responding to God's word today will loose the power of God toward you and the light of God will come into you to unseat the enemy. It's not an unusual thing when a person makes a choice like this for there to be radical, sudden change where they've never been able to get relief in the past, let alone full deliverance and freedom. That's one of the most beautiful words in the Bible, deliverance. What does it mean? The darkness is being pushed out. We're not being delivered from the devil. The devil's being pushed out, and we're being delivered or translated into light. That's how he gets pushed out. We decide, I'm moving into greater light. I choose Jesus this morning. Now, the third thing is we leave changed, and we give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27, we give no place to the devil. What's his place? In thought, in fellowship. Think about the areas of your life that the enemy, think of your big three. These are your big three according to all the Christian polls. Your family. How does the devil get into the family? Darkness gets into the family. The devil can't get in any other way. How do you deal with the darkness? You increase light. What do you do instead of putting off church? You put everybody in church. I remember growing up, I was told when the church doors are open, you will be there because you are a Lee and you live in this house. When you go to live on your own, you can do whatever you want. But if you do whatever you want and you don't seem to fit what's going on in this house, you will be over there doing what you want and we will be doing God's way. Well, no getting around that. Doesn't sound like. Why? It's fixed. It's settled. It's a settled matter. We'd get up and not feel good and mom and daddy would say, they'd pray over us. If we acted up a little bit, they'd say, do we need to cast the devil out of you? We're going to church. Well, pastor, that's extreme. That's what the Bible said. And my parents, instead of making excuses for us kids or thinking, oh, Doug's a little weak physically, you know, he can stay home today. They could have said that. I was the weakest physically. They could have said, well, he can just stay home. He can't breathe today or, you know, he's coughing today or he's this or that. Or they never said that to me, not once. Now, you get up. We just prayed for you. You're going to be fine. You know what? I just decided I better believe it. Now, you can decide for yourselves, but I want you to see how much things have changed in 50 years. How my parents did me 50 years ago was normal in a church like ours. That was the resolve we had. We are going to do right by Jesus, come hell or high water. Well, you're going to have hell and high water at the same time, I can tell you. And you got to have to decide. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to close down. I did go 8 minutes past what I said. So I want to create an opportunity for you. Today you have to choose to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You come to, and what is that? That's God's delivering power. The enemy will have to go because you're resisting him. He'll have to turn loose and let go. But recognize he got an opportunity because there was darkness and you need to come out of the darkness into light. When you come to the altar, you're saying, I choose light, and God's anointing works in the light. It doesn't work in the darkness. It works against the light. You come out of the darkness, and his anointing will come on you. People want the anointing to come to get them out of darkness. It doesn't work that way. Your decision gets you out of darkness. Faith in Jesus' name, and you say, Jesus, I trust you. How can this work? In practical ways? If you're caught in a habit that you hate. I can't tell you how many. In full gospel days when I traveled, one of the great anointings on my life was anybody that had a habit they wanted to break, particularly smoking. Okay? Why, in those days, Marlboro Man was famous. If you remember, there were several of them. And all the young guys that were about my age thought, I want to be like that tough guy with the cowboy hat and the jeans and the rolled up shirt sleeves and the pack of Marlboro, one hanging out over here and a sexy girl over here. Why, that was the image portrayed that any guy, you're supposed to be that. There was no warning on the label yet that said, smoking these can kill you. Smoking these can cause your lungs to rot. There was nothing like that. Why, the open door was, do this and you get that. Understand, Jesus is saying, do this and you get him. Amen. Drives away all the ill effect even of those decisions. But I'd have an altar call like this and people come to the altar and be free of anything. I'd say it just like this. I'll say it the same way. Anything that you feel leaves you feeling dirty or you don't like in your life. You have to not like it. If you've decided you don't like it, so what if I like it too much? You keep hearing the word, light will get in you and pretty soon your taste will change. Pretty soon you'll decide you like different things than you used to like. That's what light does. It changes our taste. It changes our ability. We begin to think, I believe I do want to be free of that. I do believe I want to change before the little words on the label dominate my life. When we resist the devil, we receive the anointing that he has. Then we've got to choose to walk as a changed person. Today, if you come, there's an anointing for you. It really came during worship, came upon me. What is that? That the Holy Spirit says it's something God rubs on that he wants to distribute. I'll take mine for me. I said, when that happened, I said, Lord, whatever needs to get out of me, get it out of me. But I also say he did that because he wanted to distribute to you. Jesus is generous. He's more concerned about what he wants to do than just what he tells you. This is the moment he wanted to get to do something for you, to make things better for you, to cause you to understand you're already accepted in the beloved. He accepted you like you are. He keeps you when you regress, but he wants to set you free continually. Heavenly Father, we give ourselves to you this morning to do your work in us according to the desire of your Holy Spirit. To give us the benefits that we this morning be a doer of your word. We resist the devil in Jesus' name. Father, we turn from the darkness. We turn from the sin. We turn from the ignorance. We turn from the laziness. We turn from the convenience of doing things the easiest way. And we turn to you to do life your way. We ask for your supernatural help to remove us from the evil and bring us into the light in Jesus' name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois 60962, or visit our website at go2lwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.